of ice in the northern parts of the state, and the main impact, of course, will be power outages, but also the roads. Of course, it doesn't take much on the ice accumulation to bring down a power line. In anticipation of what we're going to see Wednesday, Thursday, I've directed the pre-positioning of 8 National Guard teams around the state for the winter response. This has to be done in advance, and so they will be at different state trooper locations, and headquarter locations, as well as centrally located. It'll involve about 88 of our National Guard, and they've done a tremendous job in a previous ice event that we've had, and I think it's smart to have those pre-deployed for response capability. In addition, I've signed an executive order that will allocate $250,000 in anticipation of recovery efforts. I'm grateful for all the plans that our utility companies are engaging in now to be ready for this, to get power lines restored in the event they come down. I, of course, encourage everyone to look at your travel plans and minimize those if there is that ice event that comes as we anticipate. And then secondly, to be prepared, have a basic emergency supply kit along with a family emergency plan in the event we have this severe ice event as is being predicted. With that, I want to invite Dave Parker from RDOT to talk about what they're doing from a highway perspective.
Hello, everybody. I'm Dave Parker. I'm the Public Information Officer for RDOT, as the Governor said just now. Really, two things on behalf of RDOT I'd like to stress for the next 48 to 72 hours. First thing is really just your own safety. This system, still very unpredictable, has the potential for significant ice. We are asking that during that period, roughly from late Wednesday night, into Friday morning, that you stay home, stay safe, stay warm, stay off the roadways, let us get out there and do the job that you have hired us to do. Snow is one thing we can deal with, and I think we're pretty good at it at RDOT, but when it comes to ice, it's just a completely different animal. As far as preparation, we have been communicating, all 10 RDOT districts have been in full communication for the last 48 hours. Prepping and planning, specifically all 10 districts have the equipment checked out, make sure it's in good working order. We have all of our trucks loaded, primarily with rock salt. That seems to be the better method with this system coming in. And then, of course, our personnel are in place. So we're as ready as we can be. We do want to stress again that ice brings different concerns. Just a little bit of ice can cause a lot of problems. So be patient with us. Stay home if you can, and we'll get the job done. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. And next, let me go to COVID. And first, in reference to our hospital beds, I'm grateful for the General Assembly approving the funding for additional hospital beds at UAMS. The 10 additional beds are now available at UAMS, which are 27 of beds that have been paid for with ARPA funding. In addition, we have 10 additional beds that are available through the VA system. When it comes to the schools, just to reflect back, of course, at the state level, because of the number of cases as a result of Omicron, we're not able to do contact tracing, and our case investigation is not capable of doing it at this time, and it doesn't prove to be fruitful with this number of cases. We look at the schools, and we want to provide clarity for the schools, and the Department of Health and the Department of Education has worked hard on a statement that will clarify the policy, and that will be available to the school districts. But I wanted to read one portion of this that hopefully will make it clear that contact tracing and quarantines for students who are determined to be probable close contacts remain best practices as mitigation strategies, but there's no directive for districts to do so. And so that is left to district decisions. I think we'll see that many of the districts will stop doing the contact tracing and the quarantines. And that means that if a student is ill, they should stay home. If they're positive COVID, they should stay home. If you feel good, get vaccinated. And you should not stop going to school, or is not required to not go to school simply because you might have been exposed. That is up to the local school district, but there is no directive from the states in that regard. And Secretary Key in his comments may have something more to elaborate on that. If we go to our case report, we have over the last 24 hours an additional 4,637 cases, which is down from the previous week of 7,900 cases. So we continue to see the drop. Active cases are down as well by 5,914. If you look at a week ago, we had over 89,000 active cases, down to 57,000. Next one you'll see, I want to make sure we point that out. Go back to the other one. Very sadly, of course, the greatest lagging indicator are the deaths. We've had 39, which is a significant number of Arkansans that have been lost, and we regret that. Next, we'll see again the vaccinations. We've only given out right at 4,000 doses over the last 24 hours. This is low. It is what we have right now. We encourage everyone to get vaccinated, to get your booster shot. It's the best protection possible, and we want to continue to emphasize that. Let's go on to the next one. We'll see the hospitalizations have gone down 4, which is fairly flat, but and those on ventilators have gone down 8. Testing is a little over 9,000 tests, both PCR and antigen. Of course, this does not count the home tests that are done, but we still track that to see, particularly on the PCR test, as to what the individuals in Arkansas are doing whenever they feel ill. And then next, the counties, you can see the breakdown. The three leading counties, again, Pulaski, Benton, and Washington. And then I wanted to talk about our at-home test. First of all, as everyone remembers, we ordered 1.5 million at-home tests. The public has given out, have received well over 750,000 of these tests. We have additional number in inventory, and they're still available in different locations. But I also want to draw attention to a contribution of the Rockefeller Foundation that has launched Project ACT, or Access COVID Test, which is a public-private partnership to get more at-home tests available for those at the highest risk. They're working with multiple states, including Arkansas, and the test can be ordered from the website that's down at the bottom of the graphic, accesscovidtest.org. It will take 1 to 2 weeks via Amazon to have those delivered. Each household will receive one kit with 5 tests. And so we have our short-term solution, which is the test that we have available. You have your national website, but this is an additional resource to continue our emphasis on the availability of testing. And then let's go on to more specifics. These will be quick, but we'd like to see the flow chart as to the 7-day rolling average of confirmed and probable cases. And you see the two previous peaks and where we are now with Omicron and how it's declining. Active cases in the same way, a very rapid and steep decline of our active cases. Currently hospitalized, again, a lagging indicator. It's going down slowly. We're going to continue to see that number probably steady this week, hopefully decline some. We always like to point out that, let's start on the right side, and this is the vaccination status. and 83% of the deaths as a result of COVID have not been fully vaccinated. On the hospitalizations in the middle, 82% of the hospitalizations have not been fully vaccinated. And then cases, 73.3% of the cases have not been fully vaccinated. The data points to the fact of the need to be vaccinated. Our positivity rate has declined down to 27.4%. So it's going down, and we hope that that continues. And this was that multicolored chart that we showed about 10 days ago, where the youngest age group, 19 to 24, had started the decline, and now you see really a decline at every age group, and that is good news for us in reference to this Omicron variant. And with that, let me recognize Dr. Romero, come for his comments, and then I'll ask Secretary Johnny Key to come as well.
Thank you, Governor. So as mentioned by the Governor, our trends in the number of cases is decreasing, and we expect it to decrease over the next week to 2 weeks. I want to make a special emphasis today on the fact that we have sufficient numbers of antivirals currently available. We do not have a lot of monoclonal antibodies, but we do have molnupiravir available for use. It's an oral antiviral agent. Individuals who have high risk factors and are positive or become positive should ask their physicians about these antivirals. Again, I also want to point out that vaccination is extremely important in continuing to control infection. Our vaccination rates among individuals 5 to 11 are much lower than the national standard, as are the adolescent group. Many of you have heard that that there is a possibility that we could have vaccines for children 6 months to 5 years of age in the coming months. We will need to educate parents about the importance of these vaccines for children. So, again, it's important to use your mask in the proper situations and to obtain a vaccination where appropriate. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. As the Governor mentioned, we'll be issuing this communication to schools later today. Throughout the pandemic, the Department of Health has worked with the Department of Education to issue COVID-19 communication about health standards for Arkansas public schools pursuant to Arkansas law. The Secretary of Health, as Director of the State Public Health Agency, has the responsibility and duty to continue to issue standards, guidelines, and recommendations related to COVID-19 and other diseases to inform and protect individuals. As knowledge and resources have evolved during the pandemic, the response to COVID-19 has been modified to balance educational and physical well-being in public schools. To that end, as the Governor mentioned earlier, contact tracing and quarantines for students who are determined to be probable close contacts remain the best practice as mitigation strategies, but there is no directive for districts to do so. Isolation is still appropriate for individuals who test positive for COVID-19 or for those who are symptomatic. And I would add to that, to reiterate what the Governor said, we have vaccines available, and we will continue working with districts regarding increasing the percentage of our students and staff that are vaccinated. We will also continue supporting districts with respect to the mitigation strategies and their communication with us, with our points of contact throughout the schools, the hotline that we have, so that schools can still call that hotline and communicate with Department of Health and or Department of Education personnel as they work through their responses at a local level. A couple of other things that I want to mention. One is, as of this week, we have not had any districts who have reported any modifications of on-site instruction, which is good news. That continues the trend that we started seeing 2 weeks ago. And finally, we want to mention that we at the department will be setting aside $300,000 of our ARP ESSER funds to help streamline the process for background checks. One of the things that we learned during Omicron was obviously the difficulty districts had in getting sufficient numbers of substitute teachers, but we learned that there are lifetime teaching license holders out there, retired teachers who wanted to come back but needed to get a background check to adhere to Arkansas law. That process was too long. So we have been working with the Department of Human Services. There is some computer programming that's going to have to take place to streamline that, but also we'll be covering the cost of background checks up to that $300,000 amount, and then continue to look for the future and plan for the future as to how we can best streamline that process moving forward and help our schools have a network of substitute teachers who can come in should we encounter additional COVID-19 disruptions. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Johnny. And with that, we'll take any questions.
As far as the school change, if the cases are coming down and there's no schools that are currently in, you know, virtual education, what's the reason for discontinuing the directive now? Like, I mean, if it's best practice, why is it not going to be required?
Well, the answer is that we want as many students in school as possible. And they've had a challenge with this number of cases, and many of them are asymptomatic, but you know, the contact tracing has been such a burden on our schools. They can't keep up with them, and so it's keeping students out of school, and they're not symptomatic, and of course it should be an encouragement to get a vaccine. The fact that you don't have to worry about that to begin with, but we want to keep kids in school. And that's a practical remedy to help our staff, to help the educators that are doing an extraordinary job. And this is the best step forward at this time. Now, we've always had our guidelines, but we're just sort of drawing attention to the fact that it's not a directive, that the schools can make that decision. And the ones I've talked to, I think that they will go that direction to keep as many kids in school safely as they can. Johnny, did you want to add on that any?
The only thing that I would add is, you know, one of the difficulties and the challenges that schools have experienced when they have issued or identified students to be quarantined, those students many times never get sick. And that's something that continues to come up in our conversation with superintendents. And so looking at where we are now, and as the governor has mentioned over the weekend, especially moving from pandemic to how do we operate more in an endemic phase, that's something that really impacts the schools when you're sending kids home, sometimes unnecessarily. But to emphasize, if students are sick, they need to stay home. So it would just appeal to parents, if your students are exhibiting symptoms, keep them at home, as we would do with the flu, as we would do with chicken pox or many of the other diseases that that occur in our school systems.
Does it mean that there's going to be any changes to the test to stay program?
The test to stay, that's going to be something that continues at this time. We have no changes planned to that. And, you know, we are working with districts that want to continue having that in place. But we also communicated with districts that are not getting the participation. So there may be some that no longer will continue that program.
So you're saying some schools won't do test to stay anymore?
It's always been at the discretion of the schools. And so we anticipate there may be some schools, as now we're seeing Omicron wane, that they may back off from that test to stay, but it is still available for them who want to participate.
And are you worried that maybe asymptomatic or low symptomatic cases, you know, with cases like chickenpox, it's pretty clear when someone has it or not. Are you worried that could present a bigger risk for spread if people don't know that they have it or have been in the same room with someone?
Yeah, I think based on the work that Dr. Romero and his team have done, I mean, we feel confident that this is the right move at this time. We don't think that this creates or elevates the risk. Obviously, we want more students to get vaccinated. That's the way that we're going to kick this eventually. And I think this gives us another reason to say, look, in all of our mitigation strategies, the number one mitigation strategy we have available is to get vaccinated.
And Dr. Romero, feel free to jump in here if we get off track or anything, but I'll just make one other point. In talking to some of the educators, one of them told the story that a student was supposed to be quarantined, and they went through a fast food restaurant, the superintendent did, and saw the student that's supposed to be quarantined, and they were in there working, and said, "You're supposed to be quarantined." And he said, "You know, I'm not symptomatic." And so, you know, you want things to be effective as well. And this is just an example of where, at this time, where we are, moving hopefully from a pandemic to an endemic, that we can rationalize these rules and be responsive to where we are in the school system today and do the best things for our students. Is there any question remotely?
Yes, Governor. This is Chelsea Holmes with KNWA News in Fayetteville. We've been seeing our active cases and our daily cases trending downward the last couple of weeks. So my question is this an accurate representation of what we're actually seeing in Arkansas with more and more Arkansans utilizing those at-home tests that are now available to them?
I believe it is because we have the data on our tests, the antigen tests that are reported to us, our PCR test, and that's a consistent pattern, and that's going down. It was going up, now it's going down. We recognize that there's many that are at-home tests that we're not getting information on, but that's always been the case. And so you can see the trend line, and you can also see that reflected in the positivity rate, and it's confirmed by the hospitalizations as well. So I'm confident that the decline that we're seeing is real.
Governor, this is Amy Darling with KNWA as well. I would like to ask a question regarding deaths in the state. Obviously, we've seen a large amount of deaths today. Are these deaths from Omicron? Are they from Delta? Is there a specific age group that we're seeing being hit particularly hard with deaths? And what's the message to Arkansans about the how Omicron, or not necessarily Omicron, but COVID is still a deadly disease?
Well, thank you for the question. I'm going to ask Dr. Romero to come up on this. But the first point and the message is get vaccinated, because again, you go to the data point that, what is it, 80-some percent of those that die have not been fully vaccinated. So that to me is a very important point and best protection. Dr. Romero, do you want to elaborate on those deaths?
So these are recent deaths. They are from the recent surge. We expect to see more of these numbers increasing in the next few days and week. Although it's true that on an individual basis, this tends to be a milder disease with milder outcomes, when you are infecting hundreds of thousands of individuals, you're going to have an increase in the number of deaths. So this is the outcome of this infection in our community. The inability to bring it under control by vaccination or by appropriate use of masking. So we will see more deaths and significant numbers of deaths in the coming days. This is not over yet.
Next.
This is kind of
Hey, Governor, it's Mitch.
All right, we'll do Mitch, and then we're going to come to the table. So go ahead, Mitch, then we'll come back to the table.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Just slightly different topic here. It's about the shootings in Little Rock. I'm sure you're aware. 12 people have been shot in Little Rock since Friday, including a baby. The mayor announced last night that he was going to pursue a state of emergency because of gun crimes. Just your reaction to the violence, and then also, has there been any request for state resources, such as state police?
Well, the state police has assisted in some of the criminal investigations that have occurred, and so they're available for that. As you'll recall, we've had spikes in violent crime previously over the course of the last 5 years. There's been an instance where the state police, at my request, increased the patrols in Little Rock and certain areas, and we cooperated in providing additional support. I've tasked my Department of Public Safety, including the state police, to come up with a set of options as to how we can provide additional assistance to the Little Rock Police Department, to the local law enforcement agencies in support of their anti-crime efforts. And the fact is, we've got to make sure that if we have repeat violent offenders particularly, that we concentrate our resources on those. And if we need to put more resources on those that might be in an absconder status or the state has some responsibility on, we want to be able to focus our attention on that and increase our support for it. So that's a work in progress, but the resources the state has are available, and we want to provide additional assistance as requested.
You said in an interview last week that you don't think that Donald Trump should lead the country again, and I know that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is running to be governor, and you've endorsed her, but in her early rallies, she shared a lot of the same leadership qualities and supported former President Trump. I was wondering if you had any concerns or any thoughts on that.
Oh, absolutely not. Sarah Huckabee Sanders has earned the nomination. I've endorsed her. She's speaking on the same issues that I talk about in terms of the needs for the state of Arkansas. And just because somebody might have a different opinion on politics nationally down the road doesn't make a difference to me in terms of her qualities to be a good governor. Obviously, there's many people in Arkansas that might disagree with me. I articulate my views on a number of different topics, most recently on this one, but I've also articulated my concerns about the Biden administration in terms of their border security and inflation and their lack of coordination, I should say, change in distribution of vaccines and other therapeutics with the states. And so there's a lot of disagreements with this administration that just drifted into politics down the road.
Good afternoon, Brent Raines. Quick question back on the weather preps. If memory serves, around this time last year, many Arkansans were concerned about rolling power outages as well as natural gas heating shortages due to weather events in other states. Have you heard from our local utility companies? Is that a concern this time?
Not at this point. We'll continue to monitor it, but if you'll remember in the extreme weather event of last year that the struggles that Texas had particularly, we did have some rolling outages here in Arkansas, but they were minimal. We've done an energy review of that. We've increased our communication flow, and at this stage, I don't anticipate a problem, but we'll continue to monitor it.
You haven't announced a special session for next week. Does that mean you've ruled that out?
No.
If you have not ruled it out, when do you expect to make a decision?
Soon. But no, I have not ruled it out. I know there's some items that we need to cover, the EBD being the most obvious one. I had a discussion with the Senate Pro Tem and the Speaker of the House today. Just sort of batting about ideas, but I'll make that decision when I get to that decision.
So it'd be Wednesday through Friday if it was held?
Not necessarily. I mean, it could be afterwards, it could be before, or we could just take what steps we need to do during the fiscal session itself. So that decision has not been made. I'm still weighing it, and there'll be more to announce about that later. All right, I think we've covered it. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, right back here. My ear, thank you.
Do I need to talk to the mic?
I can hear you okay.
Okay. There were several schools here in the state, colleges, that received bomb threats today. And I was wondering, what are your concerns?
My concerns are very deep. And anytime that you have a threat against one of our great institutions, it's unacceptable. And here we have our historically black colleges and university that have been apparently the target of this nationwide. And I hope that we can get our investigations complete so that we can know exactly the responsible party for it. But it's unacceptable, and it should not be tolerated, and I hope we can put an end to it.
Would you be looking to support mental health resources as a response to this?
In response to what?
You know, a lot of the times that we've seen in the past events where there's, you know, bomb threats, or there have been reports of someone threatening to bring a gun to school, things like that, there's mental illness involved. I was wondering if, as a response, you would consider
GetMortgageSquares.com.
What things you would look
yes, for. Yes, I'm so sorry about the wait, ma'am. I'll be with you shortly. Carrie, how many appointments did we book at 2:30?
Jen's physical therapy clinic is pretty stretched. He needs another PT before patients get bent out of shape. Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This has been this week's media briefing brought to you by Governor Asa Hutchinson.
Is green along the stream that runs to sea. Listen to my plea.
From the Baxter Regional Medical Center studio, this is Kenny Pierce with the news. A winter storm moving towards the Twin Lakes area will bring all modes of winter precipitation. The National Weather Service in Springfield has issued a winter storm warning for all of southern Missouri from noon Wednesday until midnight Thursday night.